I would like to express our thankfulness to the church here in Traverse City and the effort that goes forth. And I always have to try to make a point to express that thankfulness every time I get up and preach at a conference or something, because I'm not a very polished person, and I tend to get running and thinking on my notes and then what I'm going to preach, and I take off and I forget to just say thank you. So before I get started, thank you. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for your efforts. Thank you for putting us up last night. It's been a very enjoyable time. But with the subject of the conference being We See Jesus in the writings of Moses, I just that instantly Brother Graver said this is the subject, and instantly this is where my thoughts went. Exodus. We'll be in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33, and we're going to read at verses 18 through 23. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see my face and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff to the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So we see Jesus is the cleft of the rock. We see Moses speaking with God in the tabernacle earlier in chapter 33. It says in verse 11 that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. But God kept himself veiled in the cloudy pillar. We know this by verse 20. No man can see God's face and live. But because of the grace of God working in Moses' life, as mentioned in verse 17, Moses wanted to see the glory of God. Moses essentially said, more. I want more of you, God. If we could only find ourselves like Moses saying more, what a better state we'd find ourselves in. What's wrong with the Lord's churches today? Why are they cold? Why are they indifferent? Why aren't they stirred up? Why aren't they moving? Because they don't cry out to God today. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. If we would just cry out like Moses, more. I want more of you, God. Oh, if we could just find ourselves in that place, all the troubles and all the cares and all the problems of this world would vanish. And all the things holding you back from serving the Lord would just get out of the way. Because I beseech thee, God, show me thy glory. You see, Moses has prayed for the people, and he says, God, if we go with us. And then Moses prays for himself. God, show me thy glory. Show me. God, I want more of you for me. I need you, God, for me. I don't want the world. I don't want the stuff. I don't want the cares. I want you. Oh, if we could just find ourselves in that state today. God, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I need more of you, God, in my life. I want you. Show me thy glory. Verse 18, Moses says, I beseech thee. Beseech, to entreat, to supplicate, to implore, to ask or pray with urgency. God, I beg you to show me thy glory. God responds in verse 19 to Moses and confirms all of his goodness and mercy that will follow Moses and the people of God. But in verse 20, God declares, no man can see God's face and live. Which brings us to the text I would like to focus on. So verse 21, first thing I'd like to see here is, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place. But behold, there is a place. Not there was a place. Or hold on, Moses, while I make you a place. God did not tell Moses to bring a pick and a hammer to carve out a place. No, God said, behold, there is a place. And I believe our God is so sovereign. When God created the world and when he created that Mount Sinai, there was a place for Moses. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't by accident. God didn't look around and say, I need a place for Moses. Where am I going to put him? No, our sovereign God, when he formed that mountain, had already formed a place for Moses. There was already a place. That place was made specifically for Moses. That place was just for him. It was just for Moses. See, and understand God who is sovereign. Get the right idea of God. Get the right framework of God. God has never learned anything. God has never added anything unto himself. So anything God has created came from a place of foreknowledge. So when God created this mountain, he created it with that place for Moses already on his mind. Already. He didn't learn. He didn't decide. He didn't come up with plan B. He didn't say, well, Moses, I'd like to call you up here. Well, let's make you a spot. No. Behold, there is a place. There is a place. If you're lost today, behold, there is a place. There is a place. Not there was a place. Not there will be. There is a place with God. There is a place. And that statement will always hold true. Well, if the Lord tarries and we're here for another 100 years, behold, there is a place. There will always be a place with God while today is the day of salvation. Don't you understand? Why haven't you looked to God today? Behold, there is a place with God. I outran my notes. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Behold, there is a place in Christ. When were we purposed to be found in him before the foundation of the world? Amen. Jesus is not plan B. When God formed the world, when God said, let there be light, there was already a people that God declared, these are mine. And in Jesus is their place. Behold, there is a place in Christ. This wasn't plan B. God had a place for Moses upon Mount Sinai, and it wasn't plan B. Behold, there is a place. I say to you today in Jesus Christ, behold, there is a place. There is a place with God, and it's in Jesus Christ. Next part of our text in verse 21. Behold, there is a place by me. Behold, there is a place by me. There is a place by God. God prepared this place for Moses so that Moses might be by God. In the presence of God. A place to know God's nearness and comfort. A place to behold God. A place that is so close. That is as close as I can possibly get to God while in this flesh. There is no better, no safer place than by God. Amen. It doesn't say, behold, there is a place by religion. Behold, there is a place by denomination. Behold, there is a place by truth. Truth is good. Proper doctrine is right. But I'm so sick and tired. And I'm confessing to you, this isn't me talking about someone else. I'm so sick and tired of how many times I can come to church and hear truth and have a mental affirmation of truth and be cold and dead inside. I want to be by God. I need that. I need to be by God. We need God. You know what? I'm not a landmark missionary, sovereign grace, premillennial, King James only, Baptist, because I don't believe something. But none of that means anything if it's cold and dead. None of that means anything if I'm not found in that place by God. Cold, dead truth, doesn't matter how true it is, cannot save you, cannot cause your heart to rejoice, cannot give you joy and rejoicing while you're on this earth. I must be found in that place by God. And that's what we need. Yes, truth is important, but what good is it without Jesus? What good is it without Him? We need Him. I need Him. How many? Oh, I hate it. What causes me to look forward to that day of glorification more than anything is to be free of sin and free of that which takes me away from God. How can I go to so many church services and hear truth and know it's truth and love it for the sake that it is truth, and yet it doesn't stir me? Yet it doesn't move me. Yet it doesn't cause rejoicing. It's just cold, dead, dry truth. Oh, I hate sin and I hate this body that I do, and I look forward to the day that I'm free of sin, that I might be by God for all eternity, and my sin doesn't, and the sin nature doesn't take me away. But oh, how I look forward to the day that I'm by God. And no more to wander, no more to stray, no more to be taken away with distraction. No more to be cold and dead inside, but just to rejoice in His presence, to be by God. Behold, there is a place by me. John chapter 14. John 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But Jesus has gone to prepare this place with God for me. Jesus is not in heaven with a hammer and a bag of nails, building mansions. This is man's sin-twisted perversion. This is Jesus, God in the flesh, the one who said, "Let there be light," and it was so. The mansions speak of a place to dwell with God. Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus is the preparation. When Jesus ascended to heaven, He made the way for me. He didn't go to prepare a place and so He could ascend and begin work on mansions. That's man's sin-twisted perversion of God. Jesus is the preparation. The mansions speak of a place with God. Behold, there is a place by me. Jesus has made the way to God. He is the preparation. He is the way to God. The mansions speak of a place with God. He's not up there building mansions. How backwards is that? He's the one who said, "Let there be light," and it was so. There is a place with God. The mansions speak of a place with God. Jesus has prepared that place in His ascension. When He ascended, He prepared the way to God. He has made the way. Behold, there is a place by me. By me. Jesus is the way to that place by God. The next part of our text there in Exodus. Still in verse 21. And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand." Thou shalt stand. God did not prepare this place for Moses that Moses might fall from it, that Moses' life might be put in peril once placed upon this rock. No, God says, "Thou shalt stand. I will ensure that you stand. I will keep you standing upon this rock. I did not prepare this place for you so I could leave you to your own devices. Thou shalt stand." There is security in Jesus. There is a place of rest in Jesus. And thou shalt stand. Yes, the Christian can backslide. Yes, He can get a place of worldliness. Yes, he can wander. But he is certain and sure on the foundation of Christ. He is secure. Thou shalt stand. God did not, from before the foundation of the world, prepare this place for Moses, that Moses might stand in that place to fall from it once again, to leave it in the hands of Moses. No, he says to Moses, thou shalt stand. Jesus is a sure place, a secure place. You will stand. His salvation is certain and sure and not in your hands. Thou shalt stand. John chapter 6. John 6, verse 37 through 39. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. Jesus says in John 6, thou shalt come, and thou shalt stand. The Father did not shed the blood of his Son that you can fall from this place of safety. Thou shalt stand. Notice that. All that the Father gave to me shall come to me, but not only shall they come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Thou shalt stand. Jesus is a place of security, a place of surety, a sure foundation, a place that you cannot be removed from. Will you put your trust in Jesus today, because you're as safe and secure as you'll ever be? There is none of this as the world would portray. I mean, let's not get into that too much, because I could go chasing that rabbit trail for hours. But how do I lose something I could never merit gaining in the first place? I could never merit to have it, but how do I merit to lose it? I didn't deserve it anyways. It was never something that I was owed. I did not deserve it. How is it that which was given to me in the salvation in Christ, how do I lose it? I shouldn't have it in the first place. But by grace, by the unmerited favor of God, I am a child of God. I am saved. Saved. Past tense. It's done. It's finished. I'm saved. How do I lose that? Jesus is a place of security. Thou shalt stand. Next part of our text in Exodus. Still in verse 21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. I did a study once of the uses of stone and rock in the King James Bible. What I found was stones are for throwing and rocks are immovable. God prepared a place for Moses that was a sure foundation. He did not place Moses in a place of unsurety, a place of shifting sands, but a place that gave assurance to Moses that it wouldn't let him down. Moses knew he stood in a place of safety because he stood on an immovable foundation. This is Jesus. Can you not see Jesus in this? Moses had assurance by where he'd been placed, a sure foundation, an immovable mountain. It's not shifting sands. It's not something that's going to let him down. It's a place of surety. It's a place that he knew he would stand. It's a place he knew would hold him, that would hold him up. The sure foundation, the solid rock. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verses 24 and 25. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, build upon me, and all the storms of life won't shake you. Jesus says, I am the rock. Stand upon me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1 through 4. It says here, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Christ is the rock. Don't tell me Peter's the rock. Christ is the rock. I mean, why does the Bible tell us Peter's name is Cephas? A stone. Stones are for throwing. Stones can move. Rocks don't move. Rocks are foundation. Rocks are immovable. Who is the rock of Scripture? Can you not see Jesus? Can we not see Jesus here in Exodus? He is the rock. He is the place of a sure foundation. He is the place of safety and security by God. He is that rock. Verse 22 of Exodus. Verse 22 says, and it shall come to pass. Not only did God prepare this place for Moses and ensure that Moses would stand upon that rock, but it shall come to pass. You are not going to be missed, Moses. You are not going to sleep in and miss this appointment, Moses. No power on earth or force that opposes you shall stop me from bringing this to pass. Satan and all the host of demons will not stop you, Moses, from standing in this place I have prepared for you. It shall come to pass. Moses hasn't went to this place yet. You'll see in chapter 34, you'll notice then he rises up early and goes up into Mount Sinai. But nothing between the time when God declared, you're coming up here and you're going to stand in this place, and the time that Moses actually went up to that place, nothing could stop Moses from being there in that place that God had prepared for him. And it shall come to pass. Again, this all relies upon the sovereignty of God. This all looks to him. There's no man in this, is there? There's no man's will in this, is there? There's no, well, Moses, hopefully you can get up here. No, and it shall come to pass. I'm going to ensure not only that I have a place of safety for you, that I've determined to have from before the foundation of the world, but I'm going to bring you to it, and it shall come to pass. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as God had said to them, it shall come to pass, believed. As many as were ordained to that end believed. It shall come to pass. Not it might. Not if you make a decision or a choice. Not if you'll make your decision for Jesus today. Yes, the Bible says repent and believe the gospel. There is a responsibility that's laid to you that says, you must believe the gospel. But don't you think that every single one that Jesus shed his blood for will come? And it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Jesus did not shed one drop of that blood in vain. Not one drop. And it shall come to pass. Moses, you're coming up here. Moses, this is your place by me. I have prepared this for you from before the foundation of the world, and you're going to stand in it. And it shall come to pass. It's not left to man's will and his power and his decisions. We all know that, the power of man's will. It is that he will chase after sin. That's the power of man's will. He's in bondage to his nature. He can't go to God. But when God says, it shall come to pass, you're going to stand in that place. You're going to come to Christ. You will seek a Savior. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 29 through 39 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. It shall come to pass. Find me one person in that he foreknew that he didn't bring all the way to glorification. Find me one person. Find me one person that he foreknew that he did not bring all the way to glorification. You won't find it, and you can't find it. It shall come to pass. And it shall come to pass. Oh, I thank God. I thank God that it's not up to me. I thank God that it's not left to me to keep it. I thank God that it's not left in my hands. I would have already failed. The moment he saved me, I would have failed. I'm so thankful that it's in God's hands. That it's because of Christ's merits. And it will come to pass. That every single one that he foreknew, he brings them all the way to glorification. What shall we say to these things? Who's going to stand in front of God? Who's going to stop God? Nothing. It shall come to pass. Back in Exodus. And verse 22, "And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by." This place that God had prepared for Moses was a place to behold the glory of God. Now Moses could not behold the face of God, but Moses desired to behold the glory of God, and God's glory passed by. This was a place of overflowing blessings. Moses was so near to God that when he returned to the people, his face shone. Exodus 34, verses 29 and 30 say, "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him." This place near God was a place where the glory of God changed Moses. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 through 3 say, "God, who at sundry time and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of his person. Jesus is the very manifestation of God's glory. Do you desire to be so near to God that it changes you? That change is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you shine with God's presence? Only in Jesus can you know such glory. How is it you and I that are saved, we can go back to that day of glory? We can go back to that day of when the Lord saved you, when he came down, as we heard, when he came alongside, as we heard about the ones on the Emmaus Road, when he came to where we were at, and he lifted that burden of sin, and he gave us that assurance of salvation, and caused us to joy and rejoice. And so many days after the Lord saved me, I spent all my days looking up. I spent all my days walking around just looking up. I mean, I was so filled with the glory and the presence and the nearness and the goodness of God that the world couldn't attract me. The world couldn't hold my eyes. I walked around looking up all the time. But how is it pretty soon we're looking back down? How is it pretty soon we're back in that place of going back to Emmaus? Just going back to Emmaus. Going back to the common. How is it we find ourselves there? But the wonderful thing is, we can behold him again. We can behold him afresh. We can get back into his word. We can spend time in prayer. We can separate ourselves from this world afresh and have a new and fresh experience of God. And experience the glory of God again and have the glory of God change us. That's what we need. We don't need religion. I don't care how right it is. I don't care how true it is. We need God. We need to be changed. We need to be drawn closer to the person of God through Jesus Christ. We need him. All the religion in the world, I don't care how correct it is, cannot change you. And we need to be changed. We need to be set apart. We need to be sanctified. We need to be looking for the Lord's return. We just need the presence of God. And where can we find that? It's in Jesus. It's only in him. Only in him. Not in religion, not in church attendance. If you can be the most faithful in sense of being in the pews. You can be in the pews every time. That doesn't mean you're meeting with God. That doesn't mean you're being filled with the glory of God. That doesn't mean you're in the presence of God just because you make a point to just militarily be in the pews. That's not going to change you. You're a creature of habit. You've taken on new habits. You're in the pew every time the doors are good. That's good. This isn't me taking away from it. That's good. And as a church member, that is where you should be. But that doesn't change you. You need the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need. We need him. We need him. Oh, how we need him. We need to be... I'm preaching to myself. Oh, how do we get back to that place of... how can we attend services and not be stirred and moved and filled with the goodness and glory of God? It's because we've taken our eyes off the Lord, because we've drifted, because we've went back to the stinking world and we're walking that Emmaus road with our head down again. And yet, there he is. There he is. And he just waits for us to behold him again. He's right there. He goes with us. He's always there. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But boy, do we go chasing after the shiny object. Boy, sheep, you can't find a better illustration. We wander like those sheep. We wander. And yet the shepherd, those times that you've been so close to the Lord that he's right there, as Brother Dan said last night, like he's right there. I've had those times when he's right there. And this isn't just cold, dead, dry religion, folks. You can have the presence of God in your life so intensely that it's like he's right there, right beside you, walking with you. It's the closest thing to heaven on this side of heaven. It's the closest you can be to heaven is walking with Jesus right next to him. He is the brightness of God's glory. Would you draw close to him? Don't you want that? How is it we walk away from that? I know those times my eyes have just flowed with tears for the goodness of God. And I think, if I could just stay like this. And then somehow I end up going back to the common. But he is a merciful Savior. And he will allow you to behold him afresh. But the glory of God is revealed in Christ. Back in our text in Exodus 22. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee. So God says to Moses, I will put thee. Amen. This cleft is not for Moses to put himself into. In all likelihood, Moses couldn't put himself in this cleft. But God said, I will put thee. I will do it for you. I will make you able. John chapter 3. John 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John chapter 6 and verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. A man must be born again. But how can he cause his second birth? He had no part in the cause of his first and cannot bring about the second. God must cause a man to be born again. God must do it for us. No man can come to Christ. It is against his sin nature. God must draw men and women unto Christ. He must say, I will put thee in Christ. God must say, I will do it for you. I will put thee in Christ. No man has ever put himself in Christ. It's an impossibility. You cannot do it. God says, I will put thee. Moses, I didn't expect you to come up here and put yourself in. I will put thee. That's how people come to Christ today. Yeah, again, the sovereignty of God is not your excuse today. The sovereignty of God is no excuse to not seek after God today. If you're lost today, the sovereignty of God is not your valid excuse to say, well, if God's going to save me, he's going to save me. No, God works in the will. He says to will and to do of his good pleasure, as it says in Philippians. He makes you willing in the day of his power. If you have no desire to seek after Jesus, I guarantee you, you'll never be saved. If you don't seek Jesus, you will not be saved. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Isn't that man's will? No. God works in the will. And we recognize God must bring men unto Christ. But if you don't care, if it doesn't burden you and bother you that you're lost and don't know the Lord, I can guarantee you you won't be saved until you come to that place where you care, where it burns you, where it bothers you, where it's like, I've got to have Jesus. I must get to him. You hear a lot of I in there, don't you? A lot of I got to get there. But that's where you got to be. When the Lord brings men unto Christ, we recognize it is God that causes a man to be born again that he might seek after God. It is God who engages the sinner and brings them to Jesus. But he does it through your will. He doesn't just robotically just, it isn't a magic act. It isn't just one day, poof, I'm saved. No, I sought the Lord and he heard my cry and he saved my soul. God works in the will. Do you want Jesus today? Because but we recognize God. God is the one that puts men and women in Christ. But that's not an excuse to not seek after him. He works in the will. Do you have a desire for Jesus today? Back in our text in verse 22, I will put thee in a clift of the rock. So in a clift of the rock. God has already prepared a place for Moses to stand upon a rock. But on this rock, there's a place of safety, a place to keep Moses safe from God himself. In this cleft, Moses would be safe from God's face. Do you understand that about Jesus today? That when he saved you from your sin, he didn't just save you from hell. He saved you from his wrath, from his judgment. This place for Moses was a place of safety from the presence of God, where he could behold the glory of God, yet he would be safe in the presence of God. That's Jesus. We can behold the glory of God, and yet we're safe from the wrath of God, from his anger. Do you understand Jesus came to save you from God? This idea, see, what the problem is when people portray it as Jesus came to save men from hell, there's more than one problem, but one problem in particular is like, it's like there's these two opposing forces. The forces of hell, and Jesus came to save you from the forces of hell. No, that's God's hell. That is God's hell. Where God sends sinners who did not repent and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not this idea that there is an opposing force of hell that Jesus came and saved you from those. No, that's God's hell. God sends sinners to hell. God sends those that have not repented and trusted in Jesus Christ to hell. The devil's not down there with a pitchfork. ruling over hell. That's absurd. That place is prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil's going there too, and he's going to suffer with the rest of them for all eternity. That is God's hell. What is this Clifton the Rock? It is a place of safety from God. Jesus came to save you from your sins that you might be saved from the wrath of God. Will you look to Jesus today? Jesus is the Clifton the Rock. He is the safe place from God and from the judgment of God. And finally, and I will cover thee, in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Moses was never safer than when the cleft of the rock was at his back and the Father's hand was surrounding him from the front. Caught between Jesus and the Father, can you picture a more eternally safe place? John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So we see Moses in the cleft of the rock. We see the cleft of the rock at his back. The cleft is like a cave. It's a recess in the rock. So Moses is caught between the cleft of the rock and the Father's hand. Now we see here in the New Testament, we're in the hand of Jesus and in the hand of the Father. Can you see a more eternally secure picture in all of Scripture? Moses was caught between a rock and a hard place in the way we'd like to put it. But he was caught between Jesus and the Father. No more secure place. No more eternally secure place. Will you trust in Jesus today? There is a place of absolute security. Caught between the cleft and the Father's hand. Caught between Jesus and the Father. Caught within the hands. And you're not wanting to get out, believe me. You're not trying to struggle out of the hand. But you can't find a place of more security. Those that have been placed in the cleft of the rock by God are held in the hands of Jesus, in the hands of the Father. Can the believer be any more secure? And to close, I'll leave you with this thought. God says today, just as he said to Moses, behold, there is a place by me. It's Jesus. How can I attain to that place? How can I be found in that place? Well, the Bible makes it clear. Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. Will you turn from your sins today? And that's where it starts. Jesus is not the savior of people that everything's going right. He's the savior of sinners. Are you a sinner today? Does your heart burden you today with your sin? And not just because you're going to go to hell, but because you've offended God. Because you are an offense to God. Because you are living in discord with God, because you're living against God. You are an enemy of God. Does this burden your soul today? Repent. Turn away from such things and to God. How do I do that? Through the person of Jesus Christ. Believing the gospel of Jesus. That he died for the sins of his people. That he was buried. That he rose again the third day. Look to Jesus. And you'll be found in that cleft of the rock. And you'll be in a place where there's no other place like it. A place of glory. Of beholding the glory of God while on this earth. Looking forward to dwelling with God into eternity. A place of absolute eternal security. But we'll stop that and turn the service back over to Brother Graber.
Let's stand.